we saved the best for last. That's what we did. 2014 is going to close out with the best show ever. So we're going to go ahead and set the expectation right there, and then we will probably not hit it at all. But we're going to set the expectation. Just kidding. We have a wonderful guest today. Crystal Miller is joining me as co-host today, and we're going to have a lot of fun with our guests. Linda, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year to everyone. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. So do us a favor and introduce yourself. Just tell the world your pertinence.
So the best part is I get to reveal to the world that, you know, on Monday I started Oracle, so I'm currently on a work break. but Monday I started Oracle. I will be the head of their employer branding and digital media for talent acquisition, so I'm super excited. Prior to this, I was with HP for 4 years. So I've been a recruiter my entire life, and fell in love with social media and employer branding and kind of literally fell into it. I'm not classically trained by any means, but it's been my passion for the past 2 years.
And who are you working with at Oracle? What's the team that you're going to be working with there?
So I will be working with Global Talent Acquisition. I'll be reporting right into
cool.
TA. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. They have really smart people. We had Bertrand Dussert on the other day. Well, actually, about 2 weeks ago. He works more on the client-facing stuff for Oracle. But, oh, my God, just Gretchen. Just really, really, really smart people. So will you have to move, or can you work more remotely?
Yeah, the best part is that it's remote. So that was a really big selling point. I'm real excited about that.
Awesome. Well, that's fantastic. What's top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night?
You know, and I'm not an insomniac, but I've been, like, not sleeping for the past 2 weeks. I think I'm really anxious about starting a new company. I feel like I'm starting high school all over again. There's a bunch of stuff going on at Oracle, and I think I have my work cut out for me. So I'm a little nervous, excited nervous, to go in and make some changes. They have some very big expectations and lots of things they want started immediately. So that's kind of keeping me up every day.
So, okay, that's a very interesting feeling and perfectly normal. Do you think that going through this as the candidate, as the new employee, do you think that's going to shape what you're doing in your work? And if so, how?
Yeah, so I said something that was probably hilarious and, you know, really true to me, but I told them that I didn't want to be like a one-trick pony, and so what I did for HP was going to be completely different than what I was going to do there. And I think they really liked that and appreciated that, and I think that that's what's keeping me up, because I've set this this super big, you know, thing that I'm going to do, and I'm not quite sure what that is yet. Granted, I don't really know what their issues are, or, you know, where they're going or what they want to do, but I think that I, you know, gave myself a big rap sheet to fill in.
Well, that's good. I mean, a good growth path is important. But I think, like, so to me, just outsider looking in, candidate experience, very hot topic in 2014, going to continue to be a hot topic in 2015, and you just went through it. And you're the head of employer branding and talent attraction for HP. For Oracle. So that's super cool. How do you think you can maybe integrate some of that? Or what are things that people should be looking at that you're going, okay, now I need to look at those same things for Oracle?
Oh, God. So as a candidate, and I hope this doesn't get me in trouble, I was very frustrated with this with the application process. So I hope to bring a lot of that and try to help that, you know, be better. We worked on that extensively at HP. I'm really pleased at where it was left by the time that I, you know, ended my job there. So I'd like to help them with that. You know, they're mobile responsive but not optimized, so that was kind of challenging. I had to, like, log on to a computer to finish my application. So, you know, and I say that with, you know, I never use a computer unless I'm working. So and you're, when you're applying as a candidate, you don't want to apply from your job. So that's mm-hmm. one big thing I'd like to change for them. I also think that, you know, a lot of the responsive time, you know, could be a little bit better. So I'd like to work with them to build a better experience from start to finish.
It's kind of fascinating, isn't it? Like, I think personally that anybody that works in talent attraction, employer branding, or recruitment marketing should go through their own experience a couple times a year, I mean, at least, but definitely once. And once is more than what many of us that work in this space have gone through it. So I think this is a huge thing for you. It's fantastic. So you're going to work on tightening up. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just exactly. So back at HP, we were having some challenges, and it was updating the career site and what should we post and what's relevant and how are we so different from other, you know, tech companies out there. And I sat in a meeting and I challenged everyone, like, grab your phone, grab your tablet, and log on right now. And the response was, it was silent in the room. And I that was the turning point for us. So challenge your leaders to do the process, because last time they applied was, you know, eons ago. That made big changes happen at HP pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's interesting. We talk about interviewing and this whole candidate experience like it's an equitable process, like there's an equal investment on both sides, and there's not. But that being said, you know, if you really have the reins to do whatever you want, you could potentially help Oracle kind of equalize out, to some degree, the investment that they're asking of their candidates versus what they're putting into it, too, especially if you could tackle response time. That's such a difficult thing. Do you think that there's tools or technology that you could use to help with that?
Yeah, so they recently transitioned over to Taleo. I'm not sure what they were using before. So I do think that they're having challenges just adapting to the tool, as any company would when they adopt a new, you know, technology. And so I do think that once they work out the kinks and, you know, get their teams trained, that possibly could change, you know. I do think that when I applied, I was in the middle of, they had just launched, like really, really early stages. And so I think that that possibly, you know, could create some challenges. I think that there's some good things to happen once they get better, you know, or more knowledgeable with the tool.
All right, so first 100 days. First 100 days, new job, plus you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to stop drinking, no cursing, you know, all the typical stuff coming off of New Year's and the resolutions. What are you going to try and do in your first 100 days? Do you think you're going to institute things? Are you going to learn? Are you going to listen? Like, and this is probably what's keeping you up at night, truthfully, but what's the bit in the first 100 days? Like, what's your approach?
Okay, so I want to be like a good girlfriend and just, like, you know, figure out the lay of the land before I start putting my foot down.
things got awkward right there. There's the moment,
what
ladies and gentlemen.
You know what I mean. So I don't want to come in with these big, bold, and, you know, brass ideas because I know whatever I'm going to say is different to what they're doing. I've been tracking them for months. So I want to listen to hear, and I want to learn what their challenges are. I can see what their challenges are socially or digitally and branding-wise, but there's got to be a bigger story. You know, there's other parts of the puzzle, right? So I want to listen. From what I understand, I'll be traveling to meet with, you know, the recruiting leadership a lot during the first 3 months. So I anticipate travel a ton for the next 3 months. But what I really would like to do is create a global footprint for Oracle. So when you look at them up online, like, you see a gazillion little pieces. And they have the gazillion little pieces are all executed well, and they do appear to be, you know, in the same brand. But I do think that there's too many footprints. And so one of my first ideas will be to try to consolidate and get a real good handle of the team. I have a big team that I'm working with, and they're all over the globe. So really understand what they're doing, how they're executing. And I really just want to go in and learn a lot for the first 100 days.
So do you think, because you're coming from a consumer brand, you're moving over to more of a business-to-business brand. First of all, I want to ask a question of what do you think is going to be similar or different in those two things from your, you know, from a talent acquisition perspective. But also, do you think Oracle's has one of their business lines is HR and HCM, obviously. Do you think that an HR company has a different responsibility, you know, in the marketplace as it relates to HR and recruiting?
Yeah, I think you have to be a leader. You know, you have to set the example.
Yeah, right? It seems that way.
Yeah, I think you have to pioneer it. I think they have a lot of room to really, like, come out of it and be a strong leader and set the example for everyone else.
So I'm going to deal with the elephant in the room. Some things Oracle does really, really well, and then there's some things that maybe are a little archaic, and you're going to have to use those tools too. How are you going to deal with that?
You know, I got that question a ton throughout the interview process and also when I resigned. I mean, I joined HP when we ousted a CEO and we sold a tablet for, you know, $10. So I've gone through a ton of adversity before. Not every company is going to be perfect. You know, the goal is to, you know, it's not, we're not going to put the, all the good, bad, and ugly. It's just to highlight the good stuff and tell a better story because there is a good story there. The one thing I was really impressed about with everyone I interviewed had been with Oracle for over 10 years, which said a lot, you know, based on companies that had been before. You know, the tenure was tremendous, so they couldn't, they're obviously doing something right because the retention is there. So those are stories I don't see any being told anywhere, so I'd like to, like, dig deeper into that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So, and that segues into a really interesting question, too. You are going to be working with a software company on talent attraction, employer branding, and all of that good stuff. How do you keep from becoming the poster child for their products? Or do you?
No, I think you separate. I mean, I think obviously I've always said this, that, you know, if people wanted to learn about the product, then there would be no need to have like a employer branded or, you know, career page focused, you know, digital strategy. Or, and we all know that talent brand is huge and talent brand's not going anywhere. So in my opinion, I don't want to put the product as the center of, you know, our attraction strategy. I think
I'm going to stop you there because that's not where I'm going with that. What I'm saying is you are going to be putting all of these programs in place to help you attract talent using Oracle's products. So what's to keep you from being the poster child for their products? How do you, like, becoming the spokesperson, so to speak?
Right. I assume that, you know me very well, or, we've come to get to know each other very well.
We know
each other. If I like something, you know I have no problem, you know, saying I love it. I mean, it could be as simple as, like, lip gloss to, you know, we were recently using some tools at HP that I fell in love with. So I have no problem sharing my, you know, love of something. However, I refuse to become anyone's poster child. This mug is going to be not on anyone's poster. But, yeah, I have no problem. If I love something, I'm going to tell the world about it regardless.
So proudest moment at HP. As you look back 4 years, it's a good run. I know that you've done, even though you and I haven't spent a lot of time together, I know you've done a lot of fantastic stuff. As you look back and reflect, what's the proudest moment that you have at HP?
I think changing perception. So, you know, no one really believed in the role or in the need of a talent brand. No one believed in opening our, you know, our doors and showing what our employees were doing. No one believed in, you know, Selfie Friday. No one believed in Show Me Your Cubicle campaign. No one really wanted to open their doors to allow the public to see what our employees were about. They were very fearful of poaching. And so to change that perception in a year, it took me a while, but it probably took about a year. And to see that they're still doing it, like I'm still following what they're doing, makes me happy because, you know, changing perceptions is really hard. And that makes me really proud.
Do you feel like you have some of the same work to do at Oracle?
Yeah.
Gotcha. So how do you unlock, what are some of the, because I know you're really good at this, but how do you unlock those employees to help tell some of the story? You know, because Glassdoor is sometimes a repository for the negative, not always telling the full story, and LinkedIn has some of that as well. So how do you go about doing that? How do you unlock employees to help round out what is the employer story?
So it was really word of mouth for me in the very beginning. I was lucky, so I was a recruiter sourcer for HP for 2 years, so I'd made quite a bit of hires in my time there. And so I'd made some really awesome connections with hiring managers and candidates. And so I really just, you know, very grassroots tapped into the people that knew me and that I'd gotten a job and were still there and were enjoying their job. And little by little, we started adding people to the team. We created this team called the Digital Warriors, who basically were, you know, employer. It was like an employer branded group. I just didn't want to call them community managers. I didn't want to call them brand ambassadors. But these people were starting to slowly but surely get proud of working at HP, and they noticed that when we shared the stories digitally, people were super excited about it. And I mean, it wasn't overnight. You know, it took a while, but soon people were knocking down our doors and asking us to share their story for whatever reason it was. So that was really like a hard, it was a long transition, but towards the end, getting stories was like the easy part.
So as you move into Oracle and you start to get these stories as well, I'm going to say a couple of different things. One, got to do it. So it's good to get that information from the talent attraction side, share the meaning of work. But sharing the meaning of work for a software company, you're going to, again, not to hit on this product thing too much, but you're going to also be sharing product stories. Will you be partnering with marketing on that, or is that just something that's like whatever the employees share, they share? How do you think you'll approach that kind of thing, and how much shared work will you do with the marketing product?
Yeah, so I've always been a big fan of marketing. I had a great relationship. I'm going to miss them probably the most at HP. You know, we were able to really partner and have some really fantastic campaigns come through. From what I understand, because I've obviously been meeting with my team in the week that I've been off, but from what I understand, there isn't really a relationship with marketing right now. So that is also one of my first goals, to make the introduction, to figure out, you know, who is helping, who's not helping. From what I understand, marketing owns a lot of their channels. So I want to also understand, you know, what they feel and why they feel they need to own, like, the life and culture pieces that should belong to talent acquisition. So there's like a little bit of work with marketing, I think, but absolutely hope to partner and become BFFs if possible.
So I think you're talking about something that many, if not most, talent acquisition departments are either dealing with or will be dealing with in the next 12 to 18 months. So how do you go about that? And what's the first steps, in your opinion, to being able to foster that relationship?
Well, I guess it's so much easier for me now because I'm going to be brand new. So I'm just going to pick up the phone and say, hi, you know, I'm new to this role. You know, can I have a meeting with you? And I really want to learn what they are doing, you know, and then come up with a way to work together. It was no different than when I did at HP. I picked up the phone. They'd had a previous relationship with talent acquisition. They weren't super dynamic. They weren't really working. So, you know, I don't want to change anything. I just want to make it better. And I really hope that they're open-minded to that. But I'm going to treat it like any other relationship. You know, I'm going to give my all and hopefully they give that back.
So you said something that's really important. I love that you said that you want to get in and learn what they're doing. And I think, and tell me if you see this, and I see it bleeding into our talent acquisition and talent attraction efforts a lot, but I'm like, now I don't know how to say it. But do you think that we often approach this, and maybe one of the reasons that our relationships, generally speaking, with marketing are so strained between HR and marketing, is that we don't seek first to understand, and so we're basically both talking at each other?
Yeah, so I've been working since, I don't know, high school, and some of my hardest relationships with managers or people that I was supposed to work with, you know, peers, have been those that enter a new role or enter a new team environment and tell me what should be happening versus learning what I've been doing or learning what the team has been doing. And I've always vowed to be different and come in and, like, learn. And, you know, obviously there's an issue or there's a need that they need filled because or else I wouldn't be in the role. But I don't want to enter the relationship or the job that way. I really want to learn, like, what they're doing and then, you know, offer ideas after. Because I think that long-term, you know, I want to think long-term, that is going to be the most successful way to make things happen.
So I want a question for both of you because both of y'all play on the kind of bleeding edge of employer brand. And so I want to ask you kind of the 15 question. What do y'all see coming out of 15 that's going to be a little bit different than 14? And Crystal, I'll ask you first, so I'll give time for Celinda for her to think about it. But just as you look at 15, you know, again, y'all are on the edge. Most of the market is way behind you. But even on the edge, there's going to be things that y'all are really excited to kind of see and hear, and maybe even tools or whatever. What do you expect 15 to be a little bit more about, Crystal?
So for me, and the conversations that I'm having, the tools that I'm working with the clients and things that I'm focusing on center around data. Data is at the core of them, right? So we have so much information that comes in through the candidate experience, cycles through the employee life cycle. And yeah, now stepping back from the bleeding edge into the mainstream, we're way behind curve, right? HR is way behind curve to traditional marketing. However, we're starting to see the advantages of using it. And you see that coming out in, like, your employee advocacy programs and your employee referral programs. Well, now we're looking at data from a branding standpoint. So what data points are we getting from the candidate experience that we can use to refine our talent attraction efforts? You know, what information are coming out of our culture surveys and our exit interviews and things like that that can help us learn what we need to be saying to attract the right people to show who we actually are versus who we want to be, things like that. And there's a couple of really cool tools on the horizon to help with that. Blueberry comes to mind, and that's a new tool coming out by Universum. And Celinda, you and I talked about that. I've seen the first couple reports to come out of that. They're a beta test, and it's just stunningly beautiful. I see a lot of that. I mean, beyond that, there's like candidate experience and stuff again that we've talked about for a while. But data is 2015 this year. Big conversation, I think.
I would agree. So it's been fluffy for the past few years, right? Because everyone's just trying to get out there, get their name out there, establish a page, or, you know, establish a brand. So I think it's been really fluffy and pretty and unicorns and glitter. And I do think that 2015 is going to be all about having the data, showing the right points, not what you think is, you know, the right points, but having the data to prove it. So I completely back up what Crystal's saying, and I agree with that tool. That tool is really nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've done so much of our metrics to date have been around awareness. Oh, we're building brand awareness. Mm-hmm. And, oh, my God, it's like one of those things where you just want to say every time I hear that phrase, we need to drink, or slam our head into a wall. I don't know, right? Because what does brand awareness do for you? If you can't show what that does for you, it's not really a good metric to be running around chatting about. So I'm very excited that a lot of what we've started to look at is, okay, not just engagement, but what did that engagement get us? You know, how many applications did that really yield? And beyond applications, how many referrals did it get us? And beyond referrals, you know, how much did that conversation continue past the point of hire? How does that play into social collaboration inside of the workplace? And those data points are starting to be tracked. There are tools to help track those. So, you know, we're seeing progressive companies, really progressive companies at this point, start to jump on that. Now, the trick is, what does that mean, right? So I'm like, Celinda, have you put any thought behind that as you look into your new role and the metrics that you want to be able to show success? I mean, maybe those are given to you, but assuming you're defining your success metrics, like, what are you looking at?
I mean, I definitely want to start tracking, you know, referral, like all the stuff that you just mentioned. So referrals and applications and obviously hires. I mean, that is exactly what I think a company that has a footprint and has been doing it for a few years should be focused on, right? So what are all your efforts going to get you? And that's what I want to do. But I can't really, you know, I don't want to lay that claim out just quite yet because I really don't know what's going on in the background. Exactly yet. So, you know, we can come back and talk about once I learn what the issues are, you know, what role we start tracking. But Oracle made it very clear that they weren't looking for fluff and they wanted some real data-driven metrics, that they wanted to be really data-driven in this role. So I agree with everything you said.
Nice. Let me ask both of you again, because you're both on the phone, I get the privilege of asking both of you the same question. It's around candidate feedback, and what I'm trying to figure out is, what's the expectation? What should the expectation be when someone applies to a job? What should be the expectation that they get in return for asking the job, in return for applying to a job? I struggle with this because there's so much of a volume game being played on both sides, of candidates applying to 1,000 jobs and recruiters wanting, you know, 5,000 applicants for a job. So I get that, but I want to get from y'all what really should be the expectation for candidates. And so, Linda, we'll start with you
first.
What do you believe? Go ahead.
I get dinged for this one all the time because I speak like a recruiter. So, you know, that's how I made my living forever. And, you know, okay, so if someone applies and I had no, you know, touch to them, preemptively, you know, I still think they should get, you know, I hate form emails, but, you know, a form email of some sort saying we've reviewed your profile and whether, you know, you're going on to the next step or not. This is someone I've never spoken to. But a referral, someone I've sourced, someone that has applied, has been in the process, perhaps a silver medalist from another job, absolutely deserves a phone call. And I get dinged every time I say this. People don't like that I say that. But recruiting is about relationship building. And I think that as, you know, jobs get tougher to fill and the markets get harder and unemployment goes, you know, way, way down, you know, people are going to come back to those that have made some sort of human connection with them. And I think that at the end of the day, I think candidates deserve that. I miss that in all the applications that I've done in my life. Very rarely do I have a recruiter that I've really connected with.
So I was going to say that I'm on the camp of over-communication because it's just with tools and automation, it's just too easy to do it. And it frustrates me to no end when I hear, well, I can't do that because I'm managing 40 recs. Well, good for you. You know, that's great. Each one of those people, when they apply to you, when you take the time to attract candidates, well, let's forget whether or not they're qualified candidates at this point. When you take the time to put yourself out there, to put your organization out there as an employer of choice, part of being that employer of choice is respecting the people that respond to those marketing messages enough to let them know where they stand. And it's seriously, I used to have 4 form emails set up. They looked very personal. They were not. So there was like a bracket for insert something here. If I didn't want to insert anything, I just took that out. But took no time at all to send those out. But it made a huge difference to the people that were applying because, you know, everybody's got that job they really want. And so maybe they're not giving their all to another job that they're interviewing for because they're really hoping for yours. Well, if they're not the right fit for this job, then you, in my opinion, we owe them the explanation of, hey, you're not a great fit for this, or we're going to go in a different direction. You know, if you can give them some feedback, it's one of the reasons I really loved People Clues because it gave them things that could help them with their job search. You know, then you owe it to them. I really believe that we owe that to them. We get people emotionally invested into a process of making one of the biggest decisions of their lives, and we act like we don't have any responsibility to them through it, and that's not okay.
I started my career as an agency, you know, a recruiter, and you know, you're always taught in an agency environment to, you know, treat each person, you know, as whether they're the hire or they know someone that's the hire. So I really believe that everybody, regardless of whether it's an agency or corporate environment, should treat people that way because at the end of the day, like, they're applying for a reason.
So we blew by 30 minutes. That felt like about 4 minutes of us talking together. So first of all, I got to say thank you to Celinda and to Crystal for carving out some time today, the last day of 14, in such a wonderful way. I appreciate both of you. Thanks to everyone listening to Drive Through HR today. And Celinda, just so people have it, what's your Twitter ID so that people can reach out to you if they want to?
Super simple, Celinda Appleby, first name, last name.
Bada bing, bada boom. That is very, very easy to remember. Everyone, thanks again for listening to a little Drive Through HR. Have a wonderful night. Have a restful tomorrow. And congrats on the new job, Celinda.
Thank you. You guys have a happy new year.
All righty, y'all. Thanks.
Bye, guys.
Bye. It might seem